The days that followed were full recompense for all the hardships and loneliness of the months and years. It was as though the fates had conspired to heap upon Santaine all the delights that she had been denied for so long. She woke each dawn in the narrow cot, and before her eyes were open she was groping for him with a tantalizing terror that he might no longer be there. But he always was. Sometimes he was feigning sleep, and she had to try and open one of his eyelids with her fingertips, and when she succeeded he rolled his eyeball upwards until only the white showed, and she giggled and thrust her tongue deeply into his ear, having discovered that that was the one torture he could not endure. And the goose flesh sprang up on his bare arms, and he came awake like a lion, and seized her, and turned her giggles to gasps, and then to moans. In the cool of the morning they rode out together with Shasa on the saddle in front of Lothar. For the first few days they kept the horses to a walk and stayed close by the camp. However, as Santan's strength returned, they ventured further, and on the return they covered the last mile at a mad, flying gallop, racing each other, and Shasa, secure in Lothar's arms, shrieked with excitement as they tore into the camp, all of them flushed and ravenous for their breakfasts. The long, sultry desert noondays they spent under the thatched shelter, sitting apart, touching only fleetingly when he handed her a book or when passing Shasa between them, but caressing each other with their eyes and their voices until the suspense was a kind of exquisite torment. As the heat passed and the sun mellowed, Lothar again called for the horses, and they rode to the foot of the scree slope below the mountain. They hobbled the horses, and with Shasa riding on Lothar's shoulder, climbed up into one of the narrow, sheer-sided valleys. Here, below a fresco of ancient Bushman paintings, screened by dense foliage, Lothar had discovered another of the thermal springs. It spurted from out of the cliff face and drained into a small circular rock pool. On their first visit, it was Lothar who had to be coaxed out of his clothes, while Santan, happy to be rid of long skirts and petticoats, which still irked her, delighting in the freedom of nakedness to which the desert had accustomed her, splashed him with water and teased and challenged him until at last, almost defiantly, he dropped his breeches and plunged hurriedly into the pool. "You are shameless," he told her, only half-jokingly. Shasa's presence placed a restraint upon them, and they touched lightly and furtively under the concealment of the green waters, driving each other to trembling distraction, until Lothar could bear it no longer and reached for her with that determined set to his jaw that she had come to know so well. Then she would evade his clutches with a maidenly squeal and leap from the pool, slipping on her skirts over her long, wet, gleaming legs and a bottom that glowed pink from the heat of the water. "Last one of Mrs.'s dinner." It was only after she had laid Shasa in his cot and blown out the lantern that she crept breathlessly through to Lothar's shelter. He was waiting for her, strung out by all the touching and teasing and artful withdrawals of the day. They went at each other in a desperate frenzy, almost as though they were antagonists locked in mortal combat. Much later, lying in the darkness in each other's arms, talking very softly so as not to disturb Shasa, they made their plans and their promises for a future that stretched before them as though they stood on the threshold of paradise itself.